It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, I'm sure as a player and as a manager, you felt in 07 and 18, there was a certain time where you thought, this is a team that can win a championship. Have you felt that way yet about this team?
About us? You know what? I woke up today and I was like, we're 4 games away from the World Series. You know, we win 4 games and we're right there. And I always said that we have to keep working hard for what we have. You know, the team that we're going to face, they're really good. They are. At the same time, they know we're really good, too. And when people start talking about us that way, it's like, oh, okay, you know, we got something special going on here. But, you know, we got to keep working. We got to keep getting better. We made some mistakes in this series that cannot happen again. And that's the way we see it. But to answer the question, yeah, I feel that we got a chance to win the World Series. You know, I think.
Okay, so there you go. That's Alex Cora of Fenway Park just a short time ago, and a comment that I thought was revealing on multiple levels. But this is where we're going to begin tonight. I want to play that again because I want everybody to listen to it closely. And Jim Murray, that includes you, but we'll get to that Cora comment again. We'll play it for you again in just a second. The question from Peter Abraham of the Globe was, you know, back in 2018, I'm sure there was a point in the year where you thought you could win the World Series. Do you feel that way about this team now? Cora says, I woke up. We're four wins from getting there. And so this is really one of the questions I want to ask tonight is your level of belief in this Red Sox team right now, because a lot of you doubted them during the year. I was not alone. Neither was Murray. I think there were a lot of you that were willing to take those nails. And so the Red Sox, to their credit, have found a way to get it together, played some of their best baseball here at the very end of the year. Certainly some of their most clutch baseball at the end of the year. Let's not forget that on the final day of the regular season, they were down 5-1 to the Washington Nationals. They came back, won the game, which led to a playoff game at Fenway Park. And if you think that game would have gone the same way in New York as it did in Boston, I think you're out of your mind. Fenway Park has been a factor for this team too, which we'll get to a little later in the show. But one of the things we raised today on Felger and Maz, this has felt differently than it has felt all year. The Red Sox have certainly struck a nerve or struck a chord in everybody that has made people sit down or stand up and pay attention to what is going on with this team, because it has been a hell of a lot of fun in the last week plus. And it really is just 9 days. It all started last Tuesday with the playoff game against the Yankees, or the play-in game against the Yankees. And the Red Sox won that one. They beat the Rays 3-4. And here you go. Now you're in the American League Championship Series. So I want to begin with this question tonight. Is this the beginning of a Red Sox comeback? And when I say a comeback, I'm talking about here in the Boston sports landscape, a Red Sox renaissance, a Red Sox revival. Call it whatever you want. Do you think that the Red Sox are back now and that they are back to stay? That is my question to you. I have my own particular thoughts on it. And if that sounds like an open-ended question, it was intended to be an open-ended question. But is this the start, for lack of a better term, of a Red Sox renaissance, a revival? Can I even call it a rebirth, Murray? Is that a little bit too corny?
No.
But you get the idea.
I get what you mean. And I'm going to say no only because you could have asked the same question around this time of year in 2013 and 2018, and it wasn't sustainable. And I don't think that's a Red Sox thing. I think it's a baseball thing. The buzz for the game isn't what it was, especially here 15, 20 years ago. And maybe I'm just looking at it from a sports radio standpoint, and that's me as a listener going back then. I mean, you could talk hot stove for day after day, week after week. People were into it. Nowadays, like, nobody cares. So this is great right now for Red Sox fans. And, you know, if they were to win a championship, I think it's improbable because I certainly didn't believe in the team, and that'd be a great story. But, you know, you'd have a buzz here for a few months, and then come the offseason, and when it's hot stove time again, are people really going to be clamoring for Sox talk? I don't think so. And that same thing happened in 13 and 18. Like, it died off.
So, look, I'll tell you, it doesn't burn as hot as it used to. How could it? And when I say, some people don't go as far back as we do, Murray, most people don't. I mean, most people that are listening. So if people are expecting that the Red Sox are going to get back to the level that they were in 2004, 2007, when they set a record for them for local television ratings, I don't think that that's going to happen ever, ever. There was a huge dynamic in play there of not having won a championship for a near century. So I don't think you're ever going to see anything like that again unless they go another 100 years or 86 years without winning, which I hope is not the case. But with the way last year went and 2019 ended, boy, did they lose a lot of fans. The Red Sox lost a lot of fans over that period of time, and I told you this was going to happen. I said, ooh, you lost a lot of people. Think of everything that happened after they won the World Series in 2018. Everything that happened, they got off to a bad start. They fired the GM before the season was over. Their best pitcher blew his arm out and was going to be unavailable to them basically for a year and a half, closer to 2 years, but even so missed a season and a half. They traded one of the more talented players they've ever developed. I think because he didn't want to be here, they traded him to the National League and frankly didn't do very well on the trade. Let's be honest. Alex Verdugo is a decent player and an average, everyday major leaguer, but he's not an all-star, and the other two guys you got in the deal have sucked. So the manager got suspended, missed a year. Then there was a COVID season in which you finished dead last and sucked lemons, and you add all that up and you come back for 2021. Who's going to show up? The damage that was done to that team over that period of time was considerable. And if you remember, Murray, I said at the beginning of this season that I thought it was a really important year for them and they needed to get off to a good start because if they didn't, they ran the risk of losing everybody. That's what I said back in April. They started 0-3. Matt McCarthy was ready to take away the keys to the city and never let him back in. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, McCarthy was pissed, and I think a lot of people felt that way.
No, they have the receipts on him too, Maz.
And then you know what happened? They won 9 in a row. They had a great first half. The ownership and management decided to back off at the deadline because the team had, quote-unquote, arrived early, which is one that I always love. Peter Gammons wrote about this a week ago or so, and a week and a half ago. The Red Sox arrived early. As if to say, don't blame management. This thing's actually going faster than they thought. They're ahead of schedule. But I look at that as saying, so what are you going to do? Flush a season down the toilet in the process? But they arrived early. And then they win the play-in game. They rallied at the end of the year. They win the play-in game. And now they beat the Rays in the first round. So here you go against the Houston Astros. Are they back? Murray says no. So it's easy to say that right now, of course they're a hot item right now. They're playing great. They're winning. It's October. I would like to think that people in this town who care about sports are going to latch on to a team that's making a run in the playoffs, whenever that is. I sort of, you know, for me, Murray, this is still on some level akin to the Bridgie Celtics. Like, you remember the Bridgie Celtics were fun to watch. They had a good playoff run. They were a likable team. All of that, but at the end of the day, you didn't expect them to win the championship. That is still the way this is for me.
Really?
But I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Okay? I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And I will give them a better chance than I give the Celtics. I'll say that up front. So that's not a perfect analogy, because I do think that in baseball it's more unpredictable. And so you can get hot, and a manager can navigate his way through an opposing lineup with his pitching staff and get through it, and maybe you catch a couple of breaks, like, oh, I don't know, a ball hitting a bullpen wall, bouncing off your outfielder and kicking into the stands for a ground rule double on a play that might have cost you the game. So you caught some breaks. It can go that way. But I like Houston in this series. I've said to you, I think Houston is favored. But the question is, what do the Red Sox carry forward out of this in terms of interest in the team? And I do think that some of the people who dropped out in 2020, maybe even the end of 2019, some of those people who were pissed about Mookie Betts, I think some of those people have come back. I think a lot of those people have come back. And I think now you might be watching what they do during the offseason, whether or not they do anything exciting. Do I think you're going to get back to where you were 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Hell no. You're never going to repeat that. Can you get back to where you were in 2018? Yeah, I think you can. I do.
And I wouldn't compare them to the Bridges just because I know you said
go ahead, it's fine, Murray.
Just because, like, in the NBA, you knew no one should have been surprised when they got steamrolled by Cleveland.
Correct.
That year, and what, they only won that one game, but still, like, that was predictable. As you mentioned, though, the MLB playoffs, there's such an uncertainty with it, and the way that the Red Sox are playing right now and how they just steamrolled the Rays, like, I don't know. I wave the white flag now. Like, this team wins the World Series, I'm not going to be shocked.
Well, so look, again, this is one of the reasons we watch sports. I like being wrong when it comes to this sort of stuff. One of the problems with baseball is that, you know, people complain about, like, the one game play-in. Well, that's not fair. No, that's the beauty of it. If we're just going to go by who wins the most games over a large sample, what's the value in that? The point is that when you get to the postseason in baseball, the rules change. It's not a marathon anymore. It's a sprint. That's the good stuff. But I'm curious as to what people think. Have the Red Sox sucked you back in? And how long are you going to be here is really the question if you're a Red Sox fan. So we'll start there. We'll take some calls right now to 617-779-0985. And I do want to get to some of the things Alex Cora said. That are related to this series with the Astros, which starts Friday night, 8 o'clock, I believe, is the start of the first game. We'll kick it off tonight with Tim, who's in Gloucester. Go ahead, Tim. Jimmy, he's on line one, if you could punch him up, because I just froze up. Go ahead, Tim, you there?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good.
Love the show. So this is my take on it, and this is from someone that is not a Red Sox fan, not even close. But they're exciting to watch, and I really feel that they've been winning these games being the less talented team because they have been able to make less mistakes and capitalize on huge mistakes by better teams. And I think that you can say that about past Patriots teams. These guys are locked in and they are just, you know, they're lucky and they're riding this they're exciting to watch.
Okay, so look, in retrospect, I don't know if they're less talented than Tampa Bay. Is that fair? Tampa Bay, to me, doesn't have a whole lot of front-end talent. So, for example, even if you were to say, well, if I were picking the players in this series, I would take Wander Franco first. Okay, fine. How many of the next five would be Red Sox? How many of the next 10 would be Red Sox? Because I think I would take, you can certainly talk about a Rosarena if you want. But I think I would take Bogarts, Devers, Schwarber before I took just about anybody else in the Rays lineup. I think I might take Enrique Hernandez at this stage based on the way, you know, and again, the time you ask the question is critical because some players are hot and some aren't. And obviously, we just had the benefit of watching the series. Tampa's lineup is not as great as you think it is. For that matter, neither is the pitching staff. But they manage it in such a way that it's effective over the long haul against inferior competition, especially. But more often than not in baseball, talent does win. And when I say talent wins, I'm not telling you the Red Sox don't have talent. They do. They're gonna need to rely on it in this series because the Astros have it too. The Astros have it more than Tampa Bay does. So that's where we'll start. 617-779-0985. I told you I wanted to play that chorus sound again. So we'll play another comment for you, and I'll replay that one there because he did say something in there that I found interesting. And we'll get to your phone calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Whether it's happening on the field or off, Mass is talking about it.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
The Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not sure if there are more interest now than what they were in 18. I think the circumstances around not only us, but, you know, where we at outside our world, you know, has make this place special, you know? Like, you're like, I want to go to a ball game. I want to be outdoor. I want to scream, you know? We've been, some people have been in lockdowns for a long, long time, you know? There's a lot of restrictions to our lives, and the fact that, you know, they got the Red Sox playing Fenway meaningful games, it makes it more interesting, I think, you know? In this area,
when he was asked about the atmosphere of Fenway and why it is the way it is right now, and I don't dispute the idea that COVID is a factor. I mean, again, a lot was taken away from us over the last 12 to 18 months. So it's in there somewhere. But I do think the big thing is the reason why Fenway feels different. Could it just be that it had been a long time since the Red Sox played some really meaningful games in that ballpark? I mean, really meaningful games. So we get spoiled. Let's face it. We've been spoiled. We've won a lot here in the last 20 years. So a June series against the Astros or a July series against the Yankees, as good as those teams are, it's going to get the blood flowing a little bit. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't mean anything. We all know now it's settled in October, just like we know in all the other sports, all about the playoffs. We've gotten so accustomed to it that now it's old hat. Big games in the regular season don't mean a hell of a lot to us. So could it just be that we missed it? We missed the playoffs. We certainly missed the intensity of October. And so people are geeked up about it now because it's been a while. I think that that's a factor. I do want to get to your calls. I just want to play again, Cora's comment at the start of the show. A couple of small things in there that I thought were interesting. So, Jimmy Stewart, if we could play it again. Cora was asked by Pete Abe. You'll hear the question. Go ahead, Jimmy. Let's start it from the beginning.
Alex, I'm sure as a player and as a manager, you felt in 07 and 18, there was a certain time where you thought, this is a team that can win a championship. Have you felt that way yet about this team?
About us? You know what? I woke up today, and I was like, we're 4 games away from the World Series. You know, we win 4 games, and we're right there. And I always said that we have to keep working hard for what we have. You know, the team that we're going to face, they're really good. They are. At the same time, they know we're really good, too.
Jimmy, can we stop for a second? Let's just stop there. I'm going to pick it up right where we left off. But when he first asked the question, Pete Abe said to him, you know, in 2018, you felt there was a point where you could win the championship. When he took the job. When he took the job is when he felt it. Cora came here because they, not underachieved, but they failed. They got to the LCS, and they got trucked by the Astros. So they fired Farrell. And they brought in Cora. From the very beginning, it was World Series or bust. And I'm not dumping on Pete Abe. I'm just saying the circumstances are very different. Keep going, Jimmy.
You know, the team that we're going to face, they're really good. They are. At the same time, they know we're really good, too. And when people start talking about us that way, it's like, oh, okay. You know, we got something special going on here. But you know, we got to keep working. We got to keep getting better. We made some mistakes in this series that cannot happen again. And that's the way we see it. But to answer the question, yeah, I feel that we got a chance to win the World Series.
Okay, so what strikes me about the second part of that comment is we've got to keep working. So what Cora is telling you right there is we're not as good as we were in 2018. 2018, we were loaded. We were great defensively. In the outfield, they were dynamite. As Murray pointed out earlier, in the American League Championship Series, their outfield defense was a huge factor in them winning that series. Huge. So Cora's telling you right there, no, we got to keep working at it. And then we made some mistakes in that series. There weren't a ton of them. And you know how I took that comment?
Well, it's the most glaring mistake that happened in those last couple of games.
Say it, Murray. Go ahead.
Pissed at Hunter Renfro.
Absolutely.
You sit him down and have a talking to.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you can't think of anything else.
Yep, absolutely. Because you know what? He's not pissed at Kyle Schwarber. That was the only error they made. The Schwarber flip to first that went over Evaldi's head.
And doesn't Schwarber's bat almost kind of like even it out too? In the way that he handles himself. Like, it's not a great play, but again, with the self-deprecation of Kyle Schwarber and what he's done at the plate, you can almost kind of look at that and be like, well, it sucks. We'll try to clean it up, but what can you do? Renfro, that's just like a hard-o move.
Yes, it's a meathead move.
Yeah.
So that's what, and the other thing is Cora knows Schwarber has never played the position till now. So he knows that's on us. That's not on him. He's limited. He's learning. Renfro, he's pissed about that play. I'm willing to bet it. I'm willing to bet that that's what he's talking about. Now, if he's talking about other things, you know, throwing the wrong pitches in certain situations or missing location, I would tell you those are sort of ordinary run-of-the-mill things that happen in baseball. The overthrow with Renfro, that would piss a manager off, and I think it did. We'll kick it off tonight with our buddy Tom in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, boys? Listen, when Chris Sale came back from his surgery in August, he looked almost lights out. Like, he blew out my expectations of what he was going to be for us. And then did he, like, ding something up? Because his last two outings, it seems like he didn't have the confidence. And I remember when the Rays series started, I thought they said that Chris Sale was going to start game one. And I was kind of surprised they went with E-Rod, considering he's such a mental case. But clearly in game two, Chris Sale was not in the mindset, nor did he have the stuff to pitch. And I think we didn't have a shot. We need more than five innings out of the guy.
Okay, so Tom, I'm going to stop you. Don't worry. Don't expect more than five innings. Nobody's going to give you more than that. Again, if you've been listening, the game's played differently now. So we'll get to Sale a little bit later in the show, but I don't think Sale's the same guy. I think it's that simple. Cora did talk about Sale today. We'll tell you what he said. Rodney's in a car. Rodney, go.
Hey, Tony. I'm just thinking, you know, after the big scuffle at, you know, the past, you know, end of the season, that the Red Sox just got hot at the right time, and that's what you need to do for the playoffs. And I think our chances are pretty good against Houston. If they can stay hot, I think we'll do pretty well, go deep into the series.
Okay, so look, they're going to have to stay hot. They're going to have to play well. Jimmy, if we could let him go, I froze up again, please. So, you know, the Astros have way better talent than Tampa does on paper. Can you beat them? Sure. Hell yeah. Again, Astros are favored. And if you're asking me to pick today, I'll pick Houston. I think Houston's the better, deeper team, more balanced. But, Murray, let me ask you a quick question about the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
The team at the beginning of the year and the team at the end of the year are basically similar, right? It was the team in the middle in July and August and part of September that was different, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which one's closer to the reality?
I think probably the beginning of the season.
I think what they're doing now is closer to their potential.
Yeah, and I feel that just from like a, I mean, look, I don't have statistical evidence as to why. It's just, you know, eyeballs and gut. Like, this is how they played the first 3 months of the season. More, you know, and they obviously have a bigger bat with someone like Schwarber, and Kiki Hernandez has been playing out of his mind. But just in terms of, like, I don't know, the whole grit and never say die attitude and any other cliche you can attach to it, like, you've seen that over the last week and a half, and that's what they were doing in the first 3 months.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I feel the same way. Because Xander Bogaerts is a good player. Rafael Devers is a good player. And I know they're a little banked up now, too, but same with Martinez. Terrific hitter. Schwarber, that they've added. Nathan Eovaldi has been good for them. The issue with Eovaldi over his career has been health. He's healthy. He's pitching well. He's better now than he was 2 or 3 years ago. He's a more complete pitcher. But Eovaldi's healthy. And Garrett Whitlock, huge factor. A difference maker in that bullpen.
Do you think he's their closer for this series?
I think that it is likely he will get the ball at the end of the game. It may depend on...
situation.
Yeah. I don't think they have a traditional quote-unquote closer. I don't think it's just this guy's getting the ninth. I don't think they operate that way anymore. I think, though, that if you're going to need key outs at the end of a game, and it's tough to do on the road, you're going to have someone who has some balls and some poise and can throw strikes. And Whitlock's that guy. The reason to me that Whitlock's a better candidate to close than anyone else they have, there's no better strike thrower in that bullpen. Whitlock's not going to beat himself. He's not going to walk four guys. Not going to happen. He's too good for that. Too precise. But Ottavino, he can do it. Hulk, he can walk people. They all can, but not Whitlock. So I think that's why Cora's leaving him at the end.
Chris Sale doesn't walk people.
Well, Sale doesn't have the same stuff Whitlock does. Whitlock's stuff is better, Jimmy.
Chris Sale has closed before at a high level.
Okay, not this Chris Sale. So we'll get to Sale, too. Again, we'll tell you what Cora said about Sale when we come back. But also, I want to tell you, one of the obvious stories in this series is two teams that were busted for cheating. We'll tell you what Cora said when asked about the reception he will get in Houston. When we come back here on the Baseball Hour, Murray will get you caught up first.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
From breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just a thought on going down there and what you expect, the noise, the outer noise, people yelling at you, whatever. But also just how prepared are you guys, do you think, because you've been there before, you've been there in postseason, to go down and play in that atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, most of the guys have been in that spot. And the other guys that we don't, you know, Kika has played there in the World Series. Kyle, he's been in the World Series, so as far as experience and everything, it should be fun. You know, it's going to be loud. It's going to be orange. It's going to be, you know, what home field advantage is. You know, we lived it before, but at the same time, you know, we've been successful down there too, and that's always good.
Cora on the atmosphere in Houston. The reason I wanted to play that, it was Dan Roach who asked a question at the beginning. Roach, he said to him, you know, the environment down there, whether, you know, people getting hooped up, road environment, you know, maybe yelling stuff at you. Roach's no fool. So he knows, he's throwing it out there. The whole cheating thing, you're going back there now, it's the playoffs. How do you think that's all going to go? Cora didn't go near it. So I would tell you, I think that's smart on Alex Cora's part. Just stay away from it. Focus on the experience factor. We got guys who played in big games. But I thought that answer was interesting because Roachie sort of slid it in there. And, you know, do you think you're going to get a hostile response, hostile reaction? He didn't ask him quite directly, period. But I think that's what he was hoping for, and Cora wouldn't go near it. And I'm not surprised. I don't blame him. Unless someone asks him point blank, which I'm guessing he will be asked when the Red Sox get to Houston tomorrow night. I believe that's the first official availability. This was at Fenway. The Red Sox did it on their own. But MLB will conduct a workout day tomorrow. The Red Sox are traveling tomorrow in the middle of the day. My guess is they'll go right to the stadium. They'll do their media obligations. Cora will probably address the media late in the day tomorrow. And at that point, when he's on the podium, someone will ask him about the cheating scandal and coming back to Houston. And then we'll get an answer. But as Felger pointed out today, Cora really has hit that head on from the very beginning. No soft language, no euphemisms. He's taken responsibility and accountability for it and said, you know, I paid for it and I learned my lesson. Back to your calls. Brian's in a car. Brian, go.
Hey, Bass, thanks for taking my call. To your earlier point about people falling off, you know, the fandom shrinking, so to speak,
it's all about personalities, and you got a pitcher in the extra innings of a five-hour game coming off the mound not once, not twice, but three times, and exploding with emotion because he did his job. Red Sox fans love that. They love when Devers gets mad at himself for a strikeout. They love Alex Verdugo. Everything that he does, they
hey,
love.
Brian, okay, listen, I get that part of it. People bring this up all the time. So Garrett Whitlock's not demonstrative. Did you not want to watch him pitch the other night?
Oh, no, he was so talented. That's where you get that. I'm a 54-year-old guy. I played the game. When I see a kid like that, it's okay to see him be laser-focused and go out and perform and be great. But you know what? When you see a guy throw a hook, could you imagine what Dennis Eckersley would have done?
Okay,
so, been the announcer the night on that third strike call?
Yeah, so, Brian, again, Jimmy, can we drop him, please? I froze up here again. I just don't want to – I'm trying to – I want to stick to one sort of topic of call if we can. All I'm telling you is that it's not the personality that draws you to the game. You know what it is? It's the winning. It's the winning. They're winning big games. That's what's drawing you back. And yes, we like players. When you're into it and a player is animated, then you get sucked in further. But what draws you there at the beginning is the winning. Garrett Whitlock is surgical out there. You don't see a lot of emotion from him at all. And I'm glued to the TV when he's on the mound. So you just said two different things there. You said Verdugo plays with emotion, but he's, you know, Whitlock's laser focused. So the bottom line is you like the winning. That's what you like. Dean and Quincy, go ahead, Dean.
Hi. Yes. So you were talking earlier about the Boston Red Sox are taking the champagne from the Rays as a disrespectful sign and using that as motivation. And relating that to the...
Yeah, Dean, I'm going to let you go. I think what you were saying was that I related that to the Eagles planning the parade route before they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I to me, those are akin to the same thing. Teams plan for celebrations is the point, whether they're winning a series or not. That's what we were talking about. And if you disagree or you think somehow they're different, certainly feel free to call back. I'm just trying to get a lot of people in. Steven's in Northbridge. Steven, go.
Hey, guys, I just want to say how incredible has Nick Pivetta been out of the bullpen. As much as a lot of people would love to see him start a game, you can't. You cannot take him out of the bullpen. He's been absolutely incredible. And, Maz, you nailed it right on the head. Garrett Whitlock has been my favorite pitcher all season long. How incredible is it to watch him pitch? Like you said, it's surgical. It's amazing. And I hope the Red Sox keep both of them for a very long time. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so again, I'm eager to see what Cora does with the bullpen and with Pivetta. I would pitch Sale in game two. Whoever gets game three goes game seven. I have no idea what Sale's going to give them, but if he's going to do any damage, it better be early in the series.
The Pivetta thing's a good story. Even if they don't end up winning this series, just up to this point, and the fact they got past Tampa, that he threw those four scoreless innings in that 13-inning marathon is like, that's the... They've had good pitching performances out of the bullpen, but that's the one. Like, that could be the one you look at and be like, well, that was why they got as far as they did.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Murray, the other thing to consider is if you're a Red Sox fan, they got three great relief outings in that series. How can game two, Pivetta in game three, Whitlock in game four, all of those guys are young. None of those guys are going to free agency anytime soon. They're all going to be on the staff next year. Whitlock might be in the rotation. But, you know, when Eovaldi did it back in 2018, Eovaldi was a veteran guy on the cusp of free agency. Like, you weren't sure you were keeping it. All these guys, they're all young.
And for all the guff, that I and others have given Chaim Bloom, here's one for you Chaim Bloom people, the Millikens of the world. Pivetta, you got for Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree.
Exactly. Brandon Workman was subsequently released by the Phillies, and you picked him up again.
Right.
Right? So you literally got Pivetta for nothing. Connor Siebold was in that deal, too. He didn't look so great earlier in the year, but they do like him, apparently. Tom's in Quincy, a real Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Tony, what you were saying earlier about the reemergence of the Sox, and you basically said the same thing I was going to say, which it's not a question of personality. It's not a question of that. It's a question of winning. Winning cures all. So a lot of people that bailed on the Sox over the past few years because they didn't want to watch what they were doing. They look like garbage, right? So people that grew up around here and that have been fans of the Red Sox primarily since they were born, like you and me, we all grew up around here. So that is winning cures all. And as long as they keep going, And it's an awesome story. And if they keep this thing going on, of course there's going to be a reemergence in the, with the fans. But it will never, ever touch the early 2003, 2004. It just won't. And it's not their fault. That's just fact.
No, that's
but
right.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. I mean, look, that was an unusual collection of circumstances. Talk about the perfect storm. They hadn't won in 85, 86 years. They then put together a team with tremendous balls in 2003 that went into New York and should have won, but blew it. They then went out and got two terrific pitchers that offseason in Schilling and Folk. They went after A-Rod, who then ended up with the Yankees. I mean, talk about a great soap opera. Then they get into the season. They go toe-to-toe with New York pretty much all year. They have a brawl in the middle of the season. They get to October. They fall behind 3-0. Then they win 8 in a row and win the World Series. The team's popularity peaked in 2007, at least based on television ratings. Try recreating that one in history. You're never going to get that again. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy this.
Fastballs. Curveballs. And breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.